You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. My guest is Brother Nathaniel Kapner. Brother Nathaniel Kapner was born of two Jewish parents and raised in traditional Judaism in the synagogue. At the age of 19, however, he read the New Testament for the first time and was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. He converted, and later on in his adult life, he felt it necessary to start Real Jew News, a website that points out the dominant influence of Judaism on all facets of American life. You can find that website at realjewnews.com. He's on X at RealBroNat. RealBroNat. Thank you so much for joining us, Brother Nathaniel.
There you are. Hey.
Howdy.
Shalom.
Shalom, hey, sir.
You had a baby. Your wife had a baby.
My wife had a baby, yes, about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, I'm very gender specific. Your wife had the baby, not you.
But that's true.
You had something.
I've been doing chores for nonstop. It's exhausting. Yes, it's going very well. Well, I'm very happy to have you on the show. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. Because you make people mad. You make a lot of people mad with what you say. But I don't get mad at what you say. I think what you say is very interesting, and you have a perspective that not a lot of us have, which I would say is that, from what I've heard you talk about, you sort of come from a family of what could be described as like Jewish extremists. Do you think that would be a fair characterization?
No, not really. My dad was a very strong Orthodox Jew. He laid tefillin. You know, there was a big thing about the box on Netanyahu's forehead. People said, what's the box? Well, that's called tefillin. And, well, Jesus Christ, it's in the New Testament, it's called phylacteries. They make wide and long their phylacteries, said Jesus, you know, to mock them, really. But my father was a very strong Orthodox Jew, and I grew up in the traditional Judaism. I went to Hebrew schools, synagogue, Shabbat service, and, you know, the whole nine yards and the whole gefilte fish. But interestingly enough, my dad was a Jewish supremacist in the sense that he felt that the Jews had the higher ground morally, intellectually over the goyim. You see, the Jews would call people like you a goy and your wife a shiksa, which basically comes from the Hebrew shekas, which means an unclean animal. I grew up in this, okay? And but my dad, interestingly enough, was anti-Zionist, called out Elie Wiesel when he first appeared on Ed Sullivan in agony, pretending he was in a concentration camp. They were basically work camps. We were taught as kids in the 50s. He said he's a fraud. So I kind of grew up in very strong Jewish supremacy, but at the same time, my dad would see beyond the facade, and he would take me, not so much my brother. My brother was very athletic, and I wasn't. I was a skinny kid that they kicked, you know, sand on the beach at. But he took me under his wing to understand beyond the facade and to understand what is behind the narration, and he says there's always something behind the headline. And I grew up as a political animal, basically. It started with the David Susskind show. That was the first talk show. It was called Open End. Meant that there was never a decisive time limit on it. And I saw Martin Luther King before he even got famous on that David Susskind show. Hey, here's my pet snake. This is Lucifer.
You've got props. He wants
Larry. But he says, we're not so bad, really. He said, why should I take the hit for what, you know, somebody did a long time ago? Why should I take the hit? He wants to be called Larry, but I call him Lucifer. That's my pet snake. Okay, anyways.
I didn't realize we'd have... Go ahead.
Huh? Go ahead. You ask whatever you want. That's how I grew up. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like if I said stupid, my parents or my uncles would say, you have a goyish cup. That meant I think like a goy.
Right.
If I said something stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hear you say those things, and I know, you know, some people's responses just sort of get mad at what you're saying. Like you're characterizing all Jews, And I just sort of, I mean, my whole stance is just treat Jews like you treat everybody else. And if I had somebody from a Christian background whose parents thought that Christians were superior and, you know, all non-Christians were cattle and this stuff, it's like, well, that's, I'm interested in hearing that because obviously there are people that have extreme beliefs throughout the country. So do all Jews talk like that? Like what? You bring this up, I mean, is this a regular thing? Is it something that is only like extremist pockets of the community believe this stuff? Or, how widespread are these sort of supremacist ideas?
Well, it's endemic. It's crucial to understand behavioral patterns. I mean, come on. The Jew thinks himself as a collective. For instance, when Newt Gingrich would criticize George Soros for promoting all these DAs who were letting criminals out on bail, all of a sudden he's attacking us. No, he was just criticizing George Soros. And the Shiksa that was on Fox News had a fit. She didn't know how to handle it. He's criticizing George Soros, and all of a sudden she sees anti-Semitism. He's attacking the Jewish people. And she got all upset, shut him down. He didn't like it, and she was fired, the poor Shiksa. She never got married. She never had children. She's 39 years old. Her career's ruined. Because the Jews...
It's one of the difficult, and I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of trouble with audio, so there's some awkward pauses because I don't want to talk over you because your audio gets cut off, so sorry if it's a little bit awkward. That's just because we have a bit of a delay here, but this is an issue I see all the time, where you criticize George Soros and suddenly you've got other Jewish people acting like you're insulting them, and it's like, well, what the hell? Don't you have a problem with George Soros too? Like, why would you tie yourself at the hip to this scumbag who literally put Jews on trains to go to concentration camps, whatever they were, work camps, death camp, whatever. He actively participated in that, but he's untouchable. I mean, this is what confuses people, and I always associate it kind of with like if you see a video, I'll see a video posted on X and it'll be, you know, a black guy beating up a white person. Now, I don't blame all black people for that action of that black guy. But then you go in the comments and it's 10,000 black people going, yeah, she deserved it. Get that white beat. And it's like, okay, is there a major problem here? Because I wasn't thinking George Soros represented all Jewish people until all the Jewish people came out in defense of George Soros. Like, what's going on here? And you know, what's behind this reflexive action to defend Jewish people, even when they're doing bad things?
Well, look, we cannot be ignorant of these patterns that we constantly see. And we have to ask each other, do we want to remain ignorant of this pattern? And we only survive by recognizing this pattern. So I bring out the example and you jump right on it and you see it. You criticize George Soros. A lot of people don't even know he's a Jew. A lot of people think he's a Greek because he took on the name Soros. That's not his name. His name is Grigory Schwartz.
Right.
So don't even know he's a Jew. But the Jews know he's a Jew. He's one of us. How dare you criticize him? This is an anti-Semitic trope, says Jonathan Greenblatt, who's CEO of the ADL. He's the head of the censorship regime. And all Jews are part of this censorship regime. How dare you criticize George Soros? You're criticizing us. Shut him down. Shut it down. Ban him. All Jews think this way. They think in the sense of collective. Now, the Jews have two faces. They have one before the goyim in public. They have another behind closed doors. I grew up behind closed doors. All Jews look upon you, your wife, your children, but themselves categorically different.
Hmm. But again, is that typical, or is that an extreme, you know, end of the spectrum?
It's not extreme. It's just the characteristic of the collective Jew. And the one who brought this out was Henry Ford Sr. He called the Jewish people the international Jew. because he saw it, he understood it, because he had a manufacturing plant that depended on global Jewish finance. He understood that the Jew thinks collectively, and he was the first one to bring this to the American people in his Dearborn Independent. I read this when I was a kid. My dad wanted me to read it so I could understand how the Gentiles look upon us. It's always us and them. It's not, well, we look upon each one individually, equally. The Jew doesn't think that way. He wants you to think that way, but he doesn't. And when I say he, the collective Jew.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the things where it's like, you know, I have a lot of Jewish friends, and you go to, you know, a Jewish wedding or whatever, and like Judaism is very central. And, you know, when you see just your typical Jewish family, like they're all secular, sort of secular Jews where I grew up, but they all go to synagogue, they all go to the, you know, Hebrew school, they all send their kids to the same camp, and it's like, it's central to their identity. And in a way, I wish Christians were a little bit more like that, like it was a little bit more central to their identity. They took more effort in sort of solidifying this community, you know, aspect. Like the Jews I know, they get married young. There's a lot of family pressure. You got to get married. You got to get married to a Jew, and you got to have babies. You got to start having babies. Like, and then I see my, you know, my white Christian friends, they're 35. They've got no prospects. They've got no family. They've got, so, you know, in a way I don't want to criticize Jews for doing this, because it's fine. It's good. It's what I want my community to do. But then you see a lot of Jews who feel that way about their community, but then feel it's a danger for white people to have the same sort of cohesiveness and solidarity. And I'm not down with the hypocrisy, but you know, it's not like it's a bad thing to have this strong community in-group preference, is it? I mean, is that the bad thing, or is it bad that it's just them? Like, where's the issue with that